As I say, we've been studying relationships on Sunday mornings because relationships are so important to us. We've said before, relationships can cause us great pain and great joy. God gave us relationships so we can enjoy life like he enjoys life, but Adam and Eve chose the path of self-centeredness. They chose to hide from God. They chose to run from a relationship with him. And you know, in different ways, we do that sort of thing too. And so our relationships are broken and damaged by sin. And we need to consciously relearn how to live in relationship with one another and with God. And today we think about the relationship with our parents. So, you know, the relationship we have with our parents is, in many ways, it's very unique. Think about this. Think of you children, those of you at school. If you lose a friend, you might be sad, but there are more people in the world you can make friends with. When you grow up, you can work with people, and you can get to know them really well, working in the same lab or office or factory with them, and then they go and get a new job, and they're gone, but there's somebody else replaces them, and you get to know them. Do you know, we can't replace our parents. They are irreplaceable. And there's a command we're given about how we're to care for our parents, how we're to treat them. And we're going to have a PowerPoint up. So if we can get the PowerPoint up, we will be able to see the command. It's in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, "Honour your father and your mother." Now, what does it mean to honour your parents? Well, think about your birthday. Think about what you might have done on your last birthday. In our house, whoever's birthday it is gets to choose what they have, what dinner is that day. You can choose to have a cooked breakfast. You can have chili, as one person always chooses in our house, chili and rice. You might get to sit in a special place. You get a cake brought out to you. Everyone sings for you. All those things are a way of saying it's your special day. Now, when we honour our parents, what we're saying is, you're special, you're important, you're worthy of my respect. And this is a command not just for children, but for adults as well. So I want to give you five ways the Bible tells us to honour our parents and treat them as important. So, there we go. We're going to go on to the first one. I'm going to need some help. I was wondering if anyone, would any of the children be able to read that nice and loud for us? Go on, Caleb, would you read that for us? Thank you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, now hands up, children. Hands up here, who always finds that easy? Who always likes to obey their parents? Looking around for some hands. They all seem to be very firmly down on the floor. Well, what about grown-ups? Are there any grown-ups here who always loved to obey their parents when they were children? There are still all hands down. Why not? Do you know why? It's because sometimes our parents tell us to do something we don't want to do. We don't want to brush our teeth. We don't want to switch our game off. We don't think we should have to be back home that evening as early as they're saying we've got to be home. Sometimes we think our parents are being too protective, they're being a bit silly because I'm all grown up now and I don't need someone to do. We think they're being really cautious or mean or unfair, and we can find it hard to obey. But that verse says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Why does God give us that rule? Shall I tell you? It's because God's more interested in developing your character, who you are, than in whether you're allowed to go to that Halloween party or something like that, okay? Because God wants us to learn to be humble. Do you know, when you grow up, when you become an adult, you have to obey in all sorts of other places as well. You have to obey the speed limit. Even if you think, what a silly speed limit. Why is it 30 miles an hour here? It's perfectly safe to drive much faster. But God says no. The government's given us rules, and we need to obey them. We have to obey our boss in work. And sometimes your boss in work might say, go and do that. And you think, well, what's the point in that? But if the boss says do it, well, they're your boss. And as children, you need to get used to that early on in life. God wants us to respect and listen to the authorities he's given. But, you know, we can find that very hard. Sometimes we find that hard because even when we're very young, we can think we've got it all figured out. You know, you only have to read, I don't know if you ever read newspaper articles online. You read the article and you get to the bottom, you see the comments section. And do you know what it's always filled with? It's filled with people who are convinced they know the answers to incredibly difficult problems. Convinced that they would make a better Prime Minister or MP because they know all the answers to really difficult things. You know, one of the things we can be guilty of so easily is thinking, I know best, I've got the answers, so I shouldn't have to listen to what anybody else has to say. And God wants us to learn right from the start in life that actually we need to obey our parents, we need to listen. Now, what happened? Now that command is specifically for children, it actually says children there. But what happens to children? Do they stay children forever? No, you grow up, you become adults. You get married, you get jobs, you leave home, all these sorts of things happen. And then we don't have to obey our parents anymore. But you know, all people, all adults have to honour their parents. And all the rest of the verses are for not just children, but for grown-ups as well. So we're going to go on to the next one. And the second one, I've got three proverbs. So I wonder if I can have some help to read. Can somebody read this one for me? Anyone willing to read this one out loud? Elijah, would you read this for us?
Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching.
Okay, thank you. That's the first one. I've got three, another proverb. Would anyone else read this for us? Grown-ups, you can read too, if you like.
Listen, my sons, to your father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, and we've got one more now, slightly smaller writing, but one more, a little bit longer. Anyone else? Shall we have another grown-up, then we'll come back to the children in a moment. Can we have somebody else to read? Thank you, Abby.
Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths.
Okay, thank you. Now, question for you boys and girls. I'm going to show you all of them, and I want you to look. There's one word that's repeated in all three of those proverbs. What is the one word? I'm going to show you them all. Put your hand up when you can see the one word that's in all of them. Max.
Listen.
Listen. Thank you, Max. Listen. And that's our second lesson. Listen. We said obey. Now listen to your parents. Those three proverbs all say the same thing. Why do we find that hard? Now, Proverbs is all about a father, Solomon, speaking to his son. Why do you think he needed to tell his son, listen, listen, listen to me? It's because sometimes we find that difficult too. When mum says to the very little toddler, put that toy down, but they want to carry on playing with the toy. When we're teenagers, dad says, right, I'd like to talk to you about something, and you roll your eyes. Oh, I don't want to hear this. And remember what it means to honour someone? To say you're special. You're important. Well, that's what we're doing when we listen. Now, there's a man called David Morgan, and he had an unusual hobby. I'll tell you what his hobby is. He collects traffic cones. Now, he has the world's largest collection, thousands of different ones in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. I was wondering, who here, if he invited you to come and listen to him give a 3-hour talk about traffic cones, would anyone here like to go? Would anyone here be interested? One budding traffic cone collector in the making. A 3-hour talk, really? I'm not sure any of us would want to go and listen. I think we'd struggle if we did go. But now, imagine for a moment, you go to Buckingham Palace. The Queen's invited you, and you meet her, and you've you've bowed or you've curtsied to her and you've shaked her hand or whatever, and she starts talking to you, and then she says to you, "I would like to speak to you for a few hours about traffic cones." What would you do then? Do you know what I would do? I would listen. I would sit down and I would listen to the Queen for as long as she... Why? Because she's the Queen. She's special. She's important. So we listen, even if we might think, really? Traffic cones? Do you know, we need to think that same way when it comes to our parents, to listen, even if we think, this might be a bit boring. I'm not sure I want to hear this. And do you know that's true as our parents grow up, as they grow older? It can be especially true as they grow very old and they might start telling us the same stories again and again. Or they might talk about people we've never met before and we're not really interested in hearing about so-and-so and the new socks they bought or whatever it is. And when we listen to our parents, whatever age our parents are, it's a way of saying, you're special, you're important. Don't think first and foremost about how interested am I in it. It's, you're special. That's what we're saying. So that's the second thing the Bible tells us to do to honour our parents. Right, let's go on to the next one. Number three. Have we got someone who would like to read? Have we got any children who would like to read this one for us? Go on, Elijah, you can read again for us, nice and loud.
If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be stuffed out in pitchfires.
Okay, thank you. And we'll do one more as well. Any grown-ups who'd be willing to read one for us now?
The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures.
Okay, thank you. So notice with these two, it talks about cursing your father and mother, and then the next one, mocking and scorning. So these proverbs are all about how we speak about our parents. We mustn't speak badly about them. Mocking, scorning, cursing. That means, you know, I can remember this sort of thing. Maybe you go to your friend's house. Maybe you're even there for a sleepover or something like that. And they're all saying, my dad's the worst. My dad is so tight, he never buys us ice creams on holiday. Or, oh, my dad, the clothes he wears, it is so embarrassing. They're all saying different things. God says, you don't mock your parents. You don't join in ridiculing them or scorning them or cursing them or saying how much you hate them. And you know that's true for adults as well. There may be things you don't like about your parents. There may be things you disagree with them about. And as you become adults, that will inevitably, you're not going to agree with everything with your parents. But we don't go around saying nasty things about them. Instead, the Bible says we're to speak well of them. And if we go on to the next slide, I'll read this one. It's a really short one. Now, this is a proverb. It's from Proverbs 31, and it's talking about a woman who describes her as an excellent wife, and it says about her, her children arise and call her blessed. So they praise her. They say, this woman is blessed. She's a great mother. They find things that are good to say about her. They say great dinner whenever they find it, whenever they can. They send birthday cards with kind words. They find ways of saying good things about their mother. Now, I know that for some of you, you may not have a mother or a father here on earth anymore. And you may have been thinking, what's this got to do with me then? Well, here's one way it does. We still speak well. We still honour our parents. If someone was talking to me a week or two ago about their parents who weren't Christians, they passed away now. They weren't Christians, but they said, my parents were good, hard-working, honest, caring people. Do you know what they were doing? They were honouring their parents. They were speaking well of them when they spoke in that way. And if our parents are no longer in this world, we can still speak well of them wherever we have the opportunity. We can remember them in appropriate ways. We can write poems in remembrance of them. We can find ways to speak with honour about our parents wherever we can. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Here's number 4. Would anyone be willing to read our next proverb? We'll see what we can learn from that about how we speak to our parents. Anyone apart from Elijah who is very keen, who's done 2 already? Go on, thank you, Steph.
Whoever God or father, whoever mother, is a child who brings shame and disgrace.
Okay, so it talks about robbing their father and driving out, pushing away their mother. What a sad thing that we can treat our parents badly, ignoring them, being rude to them. You know the story of the lost son? Think about that story. What did he do? Dad, give me my share of the inheritance. He was behaving just like that, sort of trying to rob him, grab stuff from his dad. But instead, we're to try and find ways to treat them well. There's a story in Genesis 9 that brings this out. So in Genesis chapter 9, Noah did something wrong. He drank too much wine. He got drunk. He was in his tent and he was lying there with no clothes on. A really stupid thing for him to be doing. And his son Ham saw him. Now do you know what Ham did? He went and found his brothers and told him. But we've probably all done things like that. We've seen something funny where somebody else is embarrassed and our first instinct is, hey, come and have a look at it. That's what Ham was doing. Come and have a look at Dad. Look what he's done. Because he's lying there with nothing on and he's had too much to drink. Noah shouldn't have done what he did. But Ham shouldn't have done what he did either. He was not honouring his father when he did that. But do you know what happened next? When he went and told his brothers, Shem and Japheth, they did honour their father. So what they did was they took some clothing, a bit like a big rug or something, and they walked in backwards so they couldn't see their father, and they covered him over with that blanket. They were treating their dad well when they did that. And Joe, we need to find ways to treat our parents well in whatever way we can. Okay, we're going to the 5th one now. The 5th one is that we're to care for our parents. We all start off life as babies, and we're dependent on other people. You know, mum and dad provide for us a home, food, clothes, they teach us, they make sacrifices for us. But you know, as we grow up, we need to start caring for them and providing for them too. It starts off when we're younger. Maybe, children, you have jobs around the house you have to do. You have to do some of the clearing up after dinner. You have to change the bins. If you get older, you have to mow the lawn or whatever. Well, that's one way we start caring for our parents. But, you know, as we grow stronger, as we get older, our parents start to become weaker and we must care for our parents. And we're going to look at another proverb that tells us about this. Would someone be willing to read this one for us? Thank you.
Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old.
Okay. Can you notice that last bit of the proverb? Do not despise your mother when she is old. Why do you think he needs to say that? Well, it's because it often does happen that our parents become old and they become despised. It's an awful thing when we see it as black and white as that. We would never want to say that that's what we would do. But he's warning, actually, be careful. That can happen. I think sometimes it's because as our parents become very old, can become forgetful, can be very needy sometimes. They can tell us the same stories again and again and again. Sometimes they can be rude and they can tell us what they should be doing. Well, of course, this is what you need to do. And when I was young, that's how I did it. And they become very sort of pushy. And you know, in all sorts of ways, we can start to be resentful of our parents, especially when they get old. You know, sometimes we help them and they don't appreciate it. They just don't appreciate the things we're doing. They're still rude. Now, that's not nice, and it's not easy when that happens. But, you know, in our country today, it's become very acceptable to just leave our parents and ignore them because we're too busy getting on with our own lives. You know that over 500,000 elderly people go 5 or 6 days a week without seeing anybody. Imagine that. Imagine 5 or 6 days in a row and you don't see anybody at all. I was reading somewhere else this week about a lady who was visited on Christmas Day who hadn't seen anyone. And do you know what she was doing on Christmas Day? She was listening to an answer phone message from, I think it was like somebody from the gas company, again and again, just to hear a human voice. Now, there'll be lots of factors there, but one question's got to be, where are their families? Where are their children? I know not everyone will have those sorts of facts, but in some instances, yeah, we've got to make sure we care for our parents, especially as they grow older. Think for a moment about what Jesus did at the cross there. Think of the example Jesus gives. Joseph, his father, had probably died by that point. Mary is going to be alone. Jesus knows he's dying. He's on the cross. He's not going to be able to care for her. So do you know what he does? He tells one of the other disciples to take her in and care for her. You know, Jesus cared for his mother as she was growing older. You know, that's what he was thinking about in that moment. By contrast, you know, the Pharisees didn't want to do that. Now, I haven't got these verses up on the screen, but I'll tell you about them. Matthew 15, verses 5 and 6. Jesus there quotes the fifth commandment. And then he says about the Pharisees, you Pharisees, you break this fifth commandment. Matthew chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. They're using a loophole. You know the loophole they've come up with? When mum and dad would have stopped working, they wouldn't have any money, so it was the duty of the children to care for them and to provide for them. But the Pharisee says, no, we're not doing that because we're going to count the money that we would have given to them as being given to God instead. And so they neglected their parents. They didn't care for them. In fact, what they were doing is what it says in this proverb. Proverbs 28, verse 24. Could someone read this one for us? Go on, Caleb.
Never oppress one of your brothers, it's not wrong. His father is the one who destroys.
That's what the Pharisees were doing. They were robbing their parents by refusing to care for them. You know, we should aim to be the opposite instead, to be givers instead of takers. So, one question for us to think about is, what can we do to show our parents we honour them, they're special, a card, a hug, help around the house? God says we're to treat our parents well, we're to speak well of them. So, just think for a moment about how our country treats parents. You know, it's a very different view in some ways to God's view, who wants to push parents to one side in lots of ways. And one of the reasons for that is because sin is a rebellion against authority. Sin hates any sort of authority. So it especially doesn't like parents in authority. But I want to finish just by looking at the example Jesus gives. And I've got two examples for you. The first one is the Bible verse from Luke chapter 2 that we read earlier. Now Jesus here is a 12-year-old boy. He's been in the temple. His parents come and they sort of tell him off a little bit. Because he'd stayed there, he hadn't told them where he was going. But Jesus says, well, why did you look for me? Don't you know I should be doing my father's work? That's what he says. And we're told that they didn't understand what he was doing. But then it says this, and he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Jesus, the Son of God, obeys parents who don't understand him. Parents who don't get him, he says, I'll go back anyway to Nazareth. Do what they say. Jesus honours his father and his mother. And secondly, you know, Jesus had another father. He had an earthly father, a heavenly father as well. And again, he said he would obey him. He said he would do the will of his Father in heaven. And sometimes that was incredibly difficult. Why? Because his Father sent him down to this earth to go to the cross. That was Jesus' mission. That's what he comes to do. And Jesus says yes, he obeys his heavenly Father as well. So parents are one of the things God uses in our lives to make us more like Jesus. He gives us parents who are not perfect. No parent is perfect, we know that. They have real flaws, blind spots, sins. But God says, these are the people I want you to find ways to honour and respect and love and care for and speak well about in whatever way you can. Speak well when you speak about them. Because when we're doing those things, we're becoming more like Jesus, who did all those things for his earthly parents and his heavenly Father as well. Okay, we're going to sing, and then we're going to go straight through into a gathering around the Lord's table. We're going to sing a song that's not in the hymn book. You may well not have sung this song before, but you will know the tune. It's a well-known tune, and it's a song all about the family. It's got different aspects of the family, and one of the verses, at least, is about how we look to our parents in this. So it's a hymn about the family, giving thanks for it. So we're going to stand and sing this.